Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment you are going to hear the voice of a man who will tell you some tremendously important facts.
Welcome to the Reality Revolution. We have a super fantabulous, fantastic, wonderful, awesome episode today. We have the wonderful and glorious Kyle Boyd and Leah Rush. If you have ever been to one of the reality cons, we have now had three. We just had an amazing reality con event. Kyle has been the host of my reality cons and helped me out. And if you follow the podcast, you've seen me interview Kyle. Kyle's one of my very best friends, and he is an amazing human being, and Leah is an amazing human being, and they're both amazing people, and they teach heart coherence, and they're both very good on a number of levels, and I've got some amazing training from them. And so I was honored to have the opportunity to talk with them today, because they've really taught me about using heart coherence in a way that has maximized my ability to manifest. They took the science into it. They explained to me the scientific aspect of using my heart rhythms and my heart coherence into manifesting. So the cool thing is I was at a recent event in New York where it was the Mad Mystic Tour, where Josiah Brandt was there. And I got a call from Kyle, and Kyle said, "Hey, I'm actually going to be in town. I can see you, but I can't really, you know, stay, but I can just see you. I want to say hi." And I was like, you know, I thought he was from out of town. So at the time, so I was surprised. I was like, "Sure, man." I waited in the bar and I look over, and somebody taps my shoulder, and I look over and I see this belly button, and I look up, and you wouldn't know it from what you see there with Kyle, that he's a giant. He's got a super giant heart.
Yeah.
Leah is so sweet and wonderful. And there's something special. Their energy together is magnificent. And Kyle has told the story of having a meditation that we did together where I put him through a quantum jump. And I took him into the Akashic Records. And he saw Leah. And you know what I'm saying? So we're close friends. A lot of the amazing guests we've had on the channel, Kyle has reached out for me and contacted them. So thank Kyle. So welcome to the Reality Revolution. I wish I had applause.
Oh man. Thank you so much for having us. You are like a brother, but also kind of like my spiritual father. I really couldn't thank you enough for everything you've done for me. And like you were saying, that meditation did bring Leah into my life. So thank you for that as well.
And, you know, the other part of the story is that, you know, at some point we were connected on social media, but when you interviewed Kyle, I was such a big fan of yours. I generally would not reach out to a strange man and say anything. And I actually wrote this message and took it back a couple of times, but I was so excited that he was on your podcast, on your channel, that I said, "Oh my God, you were on Brian Scott." Like, I just had to connect with anyone who had ever touched you, talked to you, because your meditations have been in my life for years. So I actually, thank God I didn't erase it for the third time. I did send it. And so on all levels, you really brought us together from both sides.
We were created in the Reality Revolution.
Yes, we really were. We're like your baby.
It's so exciting. You gave me the first opportunity with the Quantum Healing Collective to really do a sort of live Zoom meditation. That was at the time I had been doing meditations, and I had done some, you know, for a couple people, but to be able to do it in a group, in a comfortable setting of people that were open to my meditation, that's when it happened, right? That's that, you know, it's we've had some amazing experiences now together, meditating together. As a collaborative. And I'm telling you, Kyle hosts meditations on a regular basis. Something special happens in those meditations. We've created an elevated level of emotion and frequency by tuning into our hearts. So I want to start off for people that maybe haven't heard or seen or talked to you about heart coherence. Now, you brought heart coherence to the forefront in your life through some other teachings. And you've really helped become an ambassador of heart coherence and really brought it out to a lot of people. I know a lot of people that found heart coherence through you. So tell me your origin story with heart coherence and how that, you know, changed your life.
Yeah. So basically, I was struggling early on in life, like a lot of us do. addicted to fear. Like I had so many self-centered thoughts. I was scared of everything. I was angry at everybody. And the only way I really knew how to drown out everything I was feeling was alcohol. And so at an early age, I would just numb my system with alcohol, like endlessly. And you know how it goes. I was an addict and I couldn't stop. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And ultimately I hit this bottom. I go to the fellowships, and in these fellowships, the literature they provide, it talks about how the root cause of the disease is not actually alcohol. It's not actually the drugs. It's selfishness in the form of fear, resentment, dishonesty. And that made a lot of sense to me, because all I was experiencing was fear, resentment, and all these bad, dark thoughts that I couldn't get out of. So at that point, I really was like, okay, what is the opposite of the fear, the resentment on an emotional level? And that's where my journey began. I started studying emotions, like what emotions are healthy for me and who is actually teaching people how to practice that. And that's when I found Joe Dispenza and the Institute. Through Joe Dispenza, I found the Institute of Heart Math. The Institute of Heart Math is quantifying how elevated emotions are really beneficial for you. And so I started studying this material, started practicing this material, and I went from fearful life to somebody that was feeling deep levels of gratitude. And at that point, I just really wanted to, you know, teach other people what I was experiencing.
And you, Leah, tell me about your journey with heart coherence.
Yeah, so I would say I have a very similar story to Kyle's about the preset emotions of basically fear, I would say, ran my life. I mean, I used to really wake up in the morning and just instantly feel terrified. Yeah. That was my experience on a daily basis. So I took the common path of, yeah, drowning it out with substances. And my journey, I would say, actually started more in the mind. I got really interested in the subconscious mind, but truly the subconscious mind is the body. So in my journey of exploring, it was really like, how do you make friends with your mind? How do you make friends with your heart and not just live in positive emotions, but really witness all of your emotions in a way that's loving and compassionate? I had practiced heart coherence, again, found it through Joe Dispenza, but really a couple of years ago, this was when you and I were probably still just talking. We hadn't even met in real life. And Kyle was going to do this training to be a HeartMath certified trainer, which means you can train groups of people. And I really would have, it was actually very expensive.
She just wanted to come in.
I just wanted to be near him, probably. So I was a yes to whatever he was doing. Then through being trained, I got deeper in this. And what I really loved about it was I was always helping people, whether through recovery or even as a hypnotherapist, a lot of times I'd be trying to install practices that helped people, but people often don't have time to take an hour, to take 20 minutes even. So I always loved what was actionable, and I ended up really loving teaching heart coherence and practicing it, because you just get a lot of bang for your buck. You can really, your heart actually controls more and sends more signals to your mind than your mind sends to your heart. So I love anything that's a good return on investment. And it's such an easy practice and gives such good results for a little bit of time. So now, obviously, we're pretty on fire about heart coherence.
Yeah. And I like couldn't not take this, like, so I kind of told you from a broad perspective of how I found heart coherence, but there was a mystical experience as well that was profound. And it was like, I couldn't not do heart coherence for the rest of my life. I was struggling initially in going to the fellowships, and my friend said, check out this book, Becoming Supernatural. And I was still really fearful. I start doing that Joe Dispenza breathing technique. You do similar techniques. And never had a mystical experience in my life. All of a sudden, you know, I'm like this person that doesn't really meditate, and I'm doing these breathing techniques. All of a sudden, this five-dimensional pyramid with an eye on it that was as real as can be, the most loving creature. It was like electron formation that was so real. And it's just like, it's telling me it's God. And I'm feeling like this bliss, something I had never experienced before. And then it just went into my pineal gland. And I like woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to keep reading this book. And then the next page was heart coherence. And because I was like in a super conscious state, it just was like, this is my purpose. This chapter right here, you know?
Amazing. You've told me about other experiences that you've had in meditation. You've had a number of amazing experiences, visitations, entities showing up.
Yeah.
Right? That you had experienced.
Yeah. So after that happened, I am very much like somebody who has an addictive personality. So I had just got out of like rehab and I was doing this regularly, so much. And I actually was doing it so much that one day I did this so hard in my office that somebody thought I actually had overdosed. And I wasn't like a drug user like that, but they came in my office and I was so like, because I was addicted to this new feeling that I was feeling like.
And it's a great addiction.
The first time. And my grandfather, who was like this very, he was a spiritual leader. He would come to me every single meditation and then it would be followed by pharaohs. And I mean, I didn't have friends that were doing this stuff. I was hanging out with kids that still wanted to go, you know, gambling. They still wanted to do this. Awesome people. But at that point, I was like, I need to find my tribe. So Joe Dispenza talks about creating mind movies. So I put in my mind movie, like, I love my spiritual tribe. And all of a sudden, that's what I was like kind of putting in my subconscious, that I really wanted to find a spiritual tribe. And then all of a sudden, I got all these ideas on how to build these groups of like-minded people. Started reaching out to people like you and asked you if you wanted to hang out, you know?
Well, that's the amazing thing. The Quantum Healing Collective and the Heart Coherence Collective, or the Heart Coherence Collaborative, both of those kind of take a little bit from fellowship in AA. The pattern that you guys use, it reminds me, of course, I know, I know those experiences. And there's something about that that goes beyond just the fellowship, that the sharing where everybody feels like they're a part of this group, that is powerful, that you've taken from that. And it makes those very, very cohesive when you have those meetings, right?
Yes, I feel like... You know, I've broken down and analyzed why 12-step fellowships work. And I feel like I really understand on a lot of levels. I think there is something incredibly important about a group. I think, first of all, the big thing is that if you can share yourself, and a lot of people in the Heart Coherence Collaborative are really honest, just even the group, they'll say where they're struggling, or when we even had individual gratitude meetings where people get even a little bit more personal. I feel like the antidote to shame is connection, is authentically saying what's going on, what's really going on, maybe even stuff that you could be embarrassed to say, and being accepted on a group level and being loved, I really think is the antidote for shame. And shame, I think, is the root cause of addiction in a lot of ways, of addiction that keeps going. It's almost like a little shame circle that keeps getting worse and worse. And whatever reasons you start using whatever you're addicted to, it's perpetuated by the cycle of shame. And everybody's like, no matter what people are looking like or looking like on social media, everybody is struggling with something, you know? Yeah. It's really good to get that into your head, that you are not original in whatever your problems or your pain is. So that group dynamic of being accepted and loved as who you honestly are is so helpful to everybody.
Yeah, well said. And I was at a point like where I was so alone, and I come into these groups and people start loving me up before I started to, like, I didn't know how to love myself. People are loving me up and I'm like overwhelmed with it, you know? And so I'm realizing these benefits, and people in my life are seeing me go from like this fearful, trembling, like, you know, like just wreck, to like, you kind of have a glow, Kyle. And so people would come to me and they were like, look, I'm not an alcoholic, but I want what you have, this newfound way of life. I would love a fellowship like that, you know? And so I started kind of like studying the way the fellowship existed, and it was great. And there was so much healing going on. I owe my life to it. But I realized there was a lot of like, in some different fellowships, a lot of the sharing was still fear oriented. Like this was, you know, I go to this many rehabs. It's like people just affirming their wounds, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, so how can you talk and set up something where it's more a little more healthy based off of what I was learning from Joe Dispenza? And it's like, let's just share something that we think can promote growth in the group.
It's perfect. The thing I struggled with when I would go to those type of meetings is that I would leave wanting to drink. I would leave it. They're talking about how good it was when they drank. Yeah. They're talking about how good the buzz was. They're sharing how wonderful the experience was. They're getting up and making me say, I am an alcoholic. Right. And it's like, the first thing I want to do is drink. So you're doing the opposite of that. I am this amazing metaphysical spiritual power that is my heart, that is the universe. When you say that, suddenly you're healed, right? That's what you're, it's like if you had everybody get up and say that instead at the beginning of a collaborative.
Yeah.
Right? So, and so what you've gone down this road and you, through your group, were able to get people that came together at certain times. And you would have and host Heart Coherence meditations on a daily basis, almost as your own requirement. Hey, you were like, I want to do and be in coherence every day. Yeah. And not just for 10 days, but 100 days, the Heart Coherence Collaborative hosted interviews and meditations. You've even created an amazing list. I've found finding new meditations all the time. You know, I'm a meditation junkie, and you found some really unique ones. That are different levels of heart coherence. It's amazing. If you follow the page in the group, you're posting amazing. So many amazing meditators out there have done heart coherence meditations, and you've kind of shared all the flavors of it. You went the full 100 days. That's right.
Yeah. So how it kind of started was when I was, you know, reading those books and learning how powerful heart coherence was. I wanted to find ways to hold myself accountable to doing it. So the best way to do that would be like convince my friends that I found this great thing and do it with me. And if they do it with me, it'll be easy for me to keep doing it. And so it started with like five of my friends and I doing it. And I didn't even really think they were doing it with me. Like I thought by the end of it, they were going to be like, dude, you're crazy. Like all these other wild ideas you're sending us. Like, but at the end of it, like 2 weeks would go by and they'd want to do it again. Because there is something really powerful when you do these in a group. And so then it was like, the next time I did it, we'd have like 10 people. And then, you know, it was basically what I was doing was for 21 days straight, I was just sending a meditation every day to my friends. And then, you know, they just wanted to do it again and again and again. And then it became 50 people, like really quick too. Then 100 people. And then, you know, it just expanded to now where we're at. But at some point, Leah was like, we should just make a Facebook group. And the 21 days was amazing. But what we found, because we're recording with all these amazing guests, that we would do 21 days and then it would take us like 3 or 4 months to be able to do another one. So we said, if we just extended it out to a 100-day challenge, we could basically retain the attention of our group and it would just be as effective. So now we do 100-day heart coherence challenges.
It's amazing. So how many days in a row have you been coherent?
Oh man, I don't want to act like I'm always coherent because I
I mean
I do coherence every day.
Right, you do it a little bit at least once a day.
Yeah,
you can do it in minutes, right? So to explain to everybody, and maybe we can do it right now. You can lead us to get us into coherence, and it's not hard. Before we talk about it, you've kind of taught me there. That I'm accessing my parasympathetic nervous system and my nervous system when I'm breathing in and out. And so what you found through scientific research and analysis, that if we can even out our breathing, we can, this creates this balance between these two systems, creates the beginning of the coherence with the heart, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do it.
All right.
It's really simple. It's always good to start out a conversation this way.
All right.
So if everyone could focus their attention in the area of your heart, and if it helps, you can put your hand on your heart. Now imagine that your breath is flowing in and out of your heart or chest area, breathing a little slower and deeper than usual. Try a pace of 6 seconds on the in-breath, 6 seconds on the out-breath, in and out through your heart. Now, as you're breathing in and out through your heart, think about a moment in your life that you're really grateful for. Could be any moment, but just be in that moment and see what you saw, feel what you felt, hear what you heard, as you continue to breathe in and out through your heart.
Continuing to breathe in and out of your heart, 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out. Imagine yourself into a place that brings you a deep sense of ease. It could be a real place, or you could just imagine, maybe it's a beach. And take in all the sensory data that would be coming in, the sounds, the feeling, the smell, and breathe in a deep sense of ease.
As you continue to breathe in and out through your heart, think about someone in your life you really appreciate. Maybe it's Brian for hosting this amazing channel, the best YouTube channel in the world. Maybe it's a lover, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's a mentor. But whoever it is, as you breathe in and out through your heart, really feel that appreciation you have for that person.
And next, continuing that breathing pattern in and out of your heart, recall and feel into one of the last times or an important time that someone said thank you to you or acknowledged you for your talent or for your help. And breathe in that feeling of how good it is to be seen, to be thanked. Maybe it was a card, a gift, a kind word. And if nothing comes up easily, then just thank yourself for something you have done for yourself recently that was good self-care.
All right. So it's probably, you know, like a little over 2 minutes. And in that period, our heart, minds, our emotions, everything comes into alignment. It just changes everything.
It feels, doesn't it feel when you do it like it's 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And then you like look at your clock and only a couple minutes have gone by. Does it slow down time, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's so powerful about these techniques is you could literally do it in a minute. And it changes your entire physiology. So,
as we learned from Dawson Church, when he was studying going into coherence and actually physically changing an object. So he found when he went into coherence, he slowed down his breath and made it even. He was able to change physical objects. So something that you taught at our seminar this weekend is that through heart coherence, with an elevated emotion combined with an intention, that's when the magic starts to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically, you know, that's the equation that Joe Dispenza taught me and a lot of people, but a clear intention plus an elevated emotion comes together. So your clear intention plus the emotion you're experiencing comes together to create your electromagnetic signature. So it's basically like what your energy field is sending out. So what we've found is the more clear we can get in our goals, the things that we want in life, and the more we elevate our emotions, the more our energetic field influences the matter around us, the quicker we manifest.
So we're walking around in our own energy. That, you know, I'm more and more starting to realize that as I meditate and my eye opens, I see my energy, and then I see myself interacting in my energy. So if you're putting out a negative energy, obviously you're going to see negative things, because things start to synchronize and align with that negative energy. So by elevating yourself into that positive energy, all of a sudden things change. It's a miracle, but it took us so long to reach that point where we could realize the simple thing that we can do in elevating and controlling our emotions, essentially bringing in a specific emotion into our bodies. Some people really struggle creating an emotion or bringing up that emotion. Mm-hmm. What do you say for them that struggle with that?
Yeah, so I would say two things. I really do believe that there is a place to acknowledge whatever emotions are coming up. So when people have reported that they're struggling with that, the first thing is just to be spending some time listening to yourself and feeling your emotions, not from a place of saying they're wrong or dismissing them, but really from a place of love. And you can be carrying, even if you are dealing with anger or resentment or fear, there's a way in which you can coherently be with those emotions through breathing in and out of your heart and expressing love to yourself and to your emotions. So that's the first thing that I think is really important. If you've got a lot of negative emotions kicking around, it's almost, I feel like our minds and our hearts, it's almost like a full email inbox. So you've got all of this crap. You've got the resentment, you're angry at your partner from this, your boss from this. There's all these different things where you're afraid of not getting this or losing this. And so there's a way in which I think we don't acknowledge our feelings. We just keep like, I'll just keep looking at my phone. I'll keep doing the next thing. I'll keep moving. I'll watch TV. And so you've got this full inbox of stuff. So as soon as you get quiet and you're maybe trying to say, okay, now I'm going to go be grateful, all of those emails are just, they're all just kicking around.
Yeah.
So first of all, as another thing that was really helpful to me, taking some quiet space to just empty your inbox, you know, to just be with what is, because, you know, we do talk a lot about creating reality, but loving reality and loving yourself and your own emotions and emptying your inbox is a really important part, because that's the truth. There's just a bunch of stuff that's floating around. The second you get quiet, it's like, I think it all just comes up. And then you're going to try to say like, I'm so grateful for this. You know, like,
yeah. So well said. It's true. If you're ignoring those emotions, they're not going away. They're going to come back whenever they get a chance to talk to you.
So I would advise, and I did this before practicing coherence as a practice, and I think it's even more effective with. So just simply doing the breathing pattern, which is really helpful to just bring you into neutral without the addition of, you know, trying to add in positive emotions. Take some quiet time. If you're struggling, you have 10 minutes that you could spend every day. And if it's unbearable to spend 10, spend 1 minute. I started at 1 minute of quiet with myself and then eventually got to a point where I would do an hour or a long time. So you are worth having a date with, essentially. You know, if you were in a partnership with somebody and every once in a while you got like a quick hello, I love you, or a quick, you know, maybe every 6 months you went out to dinner, you would say that was a crappy partner. You would say, this is a crappy partner and I don't feel like they love me. If your partner said, honey, will you walk with me for 10 minutes every morning? That would build a real sense of love and communication. So I would really advise starting for a minute, 10 minutes, sit in quiet, do the simple breathing pattern of heart coherence, and don't try to do anything or add anything in. Just listen to yourself, feel what's coming up. Don't yell at yourself for, I shouldn't be feeling this, I shouldn't be thinking this. just surround yourself with love and let that email inbox empty.
Yeah, I would like to add some. So one of the benefits that was awesome. One of the benefits we have had from having so many heart coherence challenges is I've gotten to, and interviewing so many guests, I've gotten to observe the meditations that work for different people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are entering into these challenges have no prior experience mm-hmm. with heart coherence. And one of my friends, Ken Bataki, he has a phenomenal heart coherence meditation on YouTube, has studied what helps people get coherent. And a lot of our friends have studied from different angles, like coherence, and then adding something to the heart coherence practice that makes you even more coherent. So what we have found is there's like yoga nidra practice before heart coherence really helps people who have a hard time softening into heart coherence. And the reason is because we are so often in the analytical mind. And, you know, when we're in the analytical mind, it's hard to actually access our hearts. We're like fighting away from our heart. But when you do something like yoga nidra, you know, you hear all these different neuroscientists and meditation experts talk about how when you focus on the space, something takes up in space, you go from the analytical mind to the creative mind. And when you go from the analytical mind to the creative mind, from beta to alpha, you then soften, like it becomes an easier journey from the brain to the heart. And so that's what I recommend for anybody who's struggling with heart coherence. It's soften the brain first and then try this. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too that I've experienced is just, I bought an Inner Balance. And so there's this device you can use, you hook to your ear and it monitors your coherence. But what it does is it guides you in simple rhythmic breathing through your heart. So it will show you this thing and it opens for 5 seconds and then it closes for 5 seconds. And it basically teaches you if you are properly breathing in and out through your heart to get coherent. And so my softening experience, I was somebody who was in a highly analytical mind state, was just through 30 minutes a day of coherent breathing, not even trying to access the elevated mm-hmm. emotions, I softened that field. I experienced the euphoria of coherence without even trying to move myself into an elevated state.
That's amazing. The really cool thing is that you took this and one thing led to another, and you were training policemen yeah. heart coherence. Now you think about you know what a police officer is doing, and they're faced with fearful moments where you have to make a decision that could determine whether someone lives or dies. And if you're in your head in those moments, you're always going to pick the most fearful, survival-oriented choice in that moment, because you really only have a moment. But if you're in heart coherence, you have an awareness of the other person that's involved. You have a little bit of control and everything's a little bit smoother. And you're able, and time is slower, as we just learned. You're able to make positive decisions and literally save lives. So you've been doing this for a little bit, right? And they've responded to heart coherence training?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, for them, you know, we were surprised because we thought the first time we went in that we were going to get like run out, you know,
right.
Get out of here with your meditation. But the truth is,
I love the Boston accent.
Get out of here. Well, that's what we were teaching the Boston police.
Right.
So, you know, the pain there is real.
Yeah.
And that, when you're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, you'll listen. And everybody has been so receptive. They all practice it and they all, you know, like some of them might be a little hard around the edge, but they're all asking us questions. They care. They really want to know how to feel better. And we've had great success. They've wanted, you know, we go and teach like one division, and then they'll want us to teach more because the guys are enjoying it.
You know? Got a contract with the whole Boston Police Department, right?
A lot of them, yeah. Especially the entire section. We won't say which sections.
It's yeah.
But they're doing it.
I would just love for legitimate survey to be done by somebody, a legitimate statistician, you know, a college professor. Mm-hmm. To look at, you know, the full stats for that division in comparison to one that didn't get training, and, you know, see how it went, you know, and see, so and get an idea of their, because part of it's, it helps them deal with their own emotions.
It's good on their own time. And then the other great thing about it is they can do it going to a scene. So
right.
Think about like trauma, like who has experienced more trauma than law enforcement? So right. What's happening is when they're going to these situations, when they're responding, their reaction based off of how they responded to a traumatic event in the past is what's happening in their body.
Right.
So like their body feels like they're responding to trauma again, and their amygdala is hijacked. So when they can do rhythmic breathing through their heart for just a minute, the neocortex gets accessed, and they can basically access the decision-making center of the brain again. So otherwise it's actually shut off. So if they don't do heart coherence, they are responding with a hijacked amygdala, mm-hmm. and their decision-making center is not being fully accessed.
Right. So it really makes you think that we should expand heart coherence for firefighters, for nurses, and, you know, doctors in emergency rooms, anybody that's in these type of situations, it will help you.
Yeah.
It'll slow down time. It'll take, if you think, oh, I'm too stressed to go do that. No, this will take away that stress and make what you're doing easier to deal with and actually contribute and offer greater service at what you're doing. Because, you know, that's sometimes they don't have a choice. They got to deal with the trauma. They have to accept the traumatic incident and try to save somebody's life, you know? And so they're affected by it. How can they not be affected by it? You know, so
that's why we got interested, because we went to this event and we saw they had the highest suicide rate of like any profession. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how can we help? And, you know, we saw they had the highest suicide rate, and then we also saw the entire presentation on what their current solution was. And it wasn't great in regards to how they're actually, being taught to process it. It's a lot of information, but nothing actually that gets into the trauma.
And as I learned from you, the heart really doesn't care about information. The way that the heart is thinking, it's different, right? It's not. So the heart is not not the statistician or the mathematician. It's not the scientist. Mm-hmm. The heart is more is feeling. It's dealing with feeling, and is the heart the smartest part of the body? You get the, as you know, when I talk to Shiva Kaur, I think the heart is the brain, is the true mind.
Yeah.
Right.
So my experience is that the heart is the smartest. I can't specifically like fight against the brain, but I will say that when I access my heart, and I do rhythmic breathing, I get access to answers that are always better for me than when they're just from my brain. You know, like whenever I have some complex problem in my life, like the brain thinks, but the heart knows, you know? So when I go into my heart, the right answer appears. I don't know why that is. I'm sure Sheva does, but it's a feeling for me. And that's my favorite part of the heart, is the magic of the heart. And I don't know scientifically why the heart is magic. I know some of it, but I do know that when I go into my heart, I access a world of magic that I cannot access by my brain alone.
The brain is really just the computer that's running all the programs, but it's not the intelligence behind it. It's not the operating system. The operating system is in the heart, and the computer is more of just the software that's running and, you know, running through the different programs and patterns. And we think that it's the main portion of our consciousness, because that's where most of our senses are located.
Yeah.
Right. But really it's not.
Yeah. Right? And it also increases our connection to others. I don't know if Sheva talked about the study with the Petri dish where they took out heart cells of humans and put them in Petri dishes, and then brain cells of humans and put them in Petri dishes, and the brain cells like fought each other and died off within like a few days. But the heart cells they started beating in harmony, and they're still beating in harmony in those Petri dishes right now.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're made to work together.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so that's a thing about one of the motivations for groups and heart coherence. I'm not sure if you've heard of constructive interference, but basically I started experiencing this phenomenon when doing heart coherence in groups, whereas like I did heart coherence on my own and it felt amazing, but when I started doing them in groups, Like everyone was leaving with this high feeling, like an aura of like what just happened. And constructive interference is basically when one person does heart coherence, it creates a wave. And then when two people do heart coherence, that wave exponentially increases. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It gets substantially bigger. And so when multiple people come together, this wave is huge and people are feeling that take over their bodies. And I know that there's some unbelievable healing effects that come from that. And so that was a lot of the inspiration behind the group work. It's like, wow, if we could do heart coherence to start every single group meeting, people are getting coherent. They're feeling amazing. There's magic that's happening. And the rest of the meeting just always unfolds beautifully.
In your experience, is it more powerful when it's in person or when it's just, is it just as powerful when it's non-local, like in a Zoom event like we had this weekend?
You know, I think that there's a lot of power and love felt. I've never had an experience with an online group where I felt so much love, and I can sense that people really, really feel it. I have to say, personally, I probably, I do a live meditation every week where there's about 100 people all in coherence. I have to say, I feel that probably the most. But as far as, well, I'll say it like this. Since we have 5,000 people, I feel like the effect is felt as strongly. But I do think there is something a little bit more powerful about in person. Curious. But when we have the numbers that we do, it kind of starts meeting that same level of 100 people in person. So I can't really.
So 8 people in person is as powerful as 100 people on,
that's,
you know,
kind of how I feel. Yeah, I get just my experience.
I would guess that, and this is my experience, I have had profound effects from doing group experiences online. In person, it's unbelievable. But I would say that maybe it's not necessarily all just the field of the heart that those people are experiencing in person. There's also other chemicals that get released just when I do meditation that can be felt here that aren't necessarily my field. So there could be some other things that are happening too. I do feel more profound benefits in person, and I think it might have to do with that. But I will say that I definitely feel these group events substantially. Deeply. And the magic that comes from in-person events is also felt on these online events. And what I mean by that is the people in the groups will start experiencing weird synchronicities because their heart fields have merged.
It's amazing. And it really goes with, you know, Neville Goddard saying the feeling is the secret all the way back in the 60s. For him to say that 60 years ago, it seems such a simple idea, but it is the secret. It's very powerful. Now, you also have done training with John Gray, with, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Yeah. And that's a whole, I've interviewed John, and that's a whole field. There's some amazing coaching, you know, maybe more difficult to talk about in this interview, but there's some amazing stuff that you actually learned. Tell me about it.
We love talking about this stuff. Yeah. So a big part of us coming together, really before we met, Kyle was very interested in leading men and embracing masculinity in a healthy way and guiding men in breathwork circles and all kinds of different groups. And I will say I think I spent most of my life, and I just want to give room for everybody, obviously, is whoever they are. But I think that we have reached a point in society where we're starting to dismiss the idea that there's differences between men and women. This seems like something simple I knew when I was 3 years old and took a bath with my brother. I don't think it's that amazing of information, but I had come to myself to really realize there was these ways that I was operating in a false sense of masculinity, I think as a protection, and as a response to probably just things in my childhood. So I had started really wanting to embrace a feminine energy as I created my hypnotherapy business. And I started realizing that there was things that made me happy as a woman. And when I did those things, I could bring abundance and joy and peace and happiness to people in my circle. So when we came together, we were very interested in the idea of masculine and feminine in their healthiest and best sense. And when we did the John Gray training, well, I actually started reading books and Kyle started reading books and then we got the training. It was the explanation of all the things we had intuitively known and been experiencing and helping people with and practicing. But the most, I think the really, really important point is how men and women process stress differently and what it takes physiologically for men and women to be happy. So really, men, their happiness is related to testosterone. If a man doesn't have enough testosterone circulating, he will tend to be depressed and anxious. And a woman, if she doesn't have the correct balance of oxytocin, will be not feeling good, not happy, stressed out, anxious. So there's these ways that you can make sure you're supporting the physiology of your body hormonally to be the happiest and the most productive and create the best life. I think you could probably talk a little bit more about maybe testosterone and men.
Well, you know, my real interest and always like what inspires me in my learning is my pain. Like, I don't want to keep making the same mistakes. And there are things that I've experienced in relationships that have been difficult. Like, I will be with a woman and I'm not understanding why, you know, at one time of the month she's acting this way. She loves me. And then she wants to be away from me. And then there's all these different things that I don't get. So I wanted to learn. And John Gray teaches you like the different parts of a woman's cycle. And at times she's going to be very open. At times she's going to need her own space. And these were things that when I started to learn them, I was like, oh my gosh, I can let go of this. Like, why are you going away? Like, what did I do? It's not actually personal. Mm-hmm. And then, the other parts of it are just like little tricks, just knowing that men and women are completely different. And learning those differences allows that freedom. It's like, I would suggest all men who are struggling in their relationship to understand that, because there might be simple ways that you can do something small that can make all the difference in your relationship.
Yeah. And Kyle is, I am too, but you really are a wonderful coach. So we're both gender intelligence, Mars Venus coaches. So that just means that really we're trained to clarify and support someone in attaining their goals and the life that they really want to create with these gender differences in mind and supporting people through a deep knowledge of the physiology and the hormonal components of what makes you productive, happy, all of the things that will make the journey to where you want to go easier.
Yeah.
Can somebody get coaching from you guys if they think that for the John Gray stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're struggling in your relationship at all, happy to help.
I'll put the contact information. And
you know, the truth of the coaching is like, so we do coaching, individual coaching to help people accomplish their goals and then this stuff. But really, like, you know, this, like, a good coach isn't telling you what to do. He's telling you like really what's already inside of you and asking you the questions, make the decisions on your own and teaching you how to be able to set yourself up so you can make those decisions on your own in the future. So that's kind of how we operate. And I'll just give one example. It's like, one common thing, like in regards to sex, a lot of the stuff has to do with sex. There's things that turn women off like really easily, and then people in these relationships can get in this pattern early on where it's like that there's just no intimacy, and then it leads to all these manifestations. And there's simple ways, like, so a woman gets turned off and then she's not interested in sex, and then the man's mad she's not interested in sex. This creates a problem because women need love to open up into sex, whereas men need sex to open up into love. Right. So if you're in that situation and this has happened early on, she's turned off, you don't know why, and you're like, you're angry she's not having sex, it's going to create this thing. It's like you're resentful and she can't open up. So it's like, what's got to give? So it's like simple little things like, all right, man, start just leaving a note around, telling her how much you appreciate her. Like, dude, you know, go out of your way to do these things. And then if that's what you want, then see what happens and give that a try. So it's like little things like that, that like aren't really that hard to do. But once you understand them, it makes all the difference. It's like, that's the magic. And everybody still struggles in relationships, even when you know all these things, because that's just the nature of two people coming together. But like our commitment is that we just continue to learn. And when we do, you know, struggle with something, it's like, all right, what happened and how can we go about this? What can we learn to try to be different and better? And then we bring that to people.
It's all lessons in love and patterns that that teach us more and more about the nature of love. And it you know, that's all it is, right? The heart is just teaching us lessons of love through other things like sex and relationships, and it's all part of the same thing. It's all connected.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah,
it is. And I feel like this stuff is all related because, you know, as much as you aim to be this spiritual being, we are human animals. And there's a way in which if you have some knowledge and do certain practices, you can use the way that your body actually works to, I think, then ascend to higher levels of spirituality. Because, yeah, if you're in some stressful thing with your relationship, you know, there's no room for awe and God. Or if you are in these patterns of resentment or, you know, an incoherent state, you can't, you know, you can't like skip the part and just enter into some kind of like spiritual enlightenment. I think people tend to want to skip over and just get to the end where everything is kind of like, oh. But there's these simple ways that through practicing heart coherence, through understanding your own physiology, that you can really embrace your body and how you work as a human to take advantage of your own systems, to actually create a life and a spiritual life that will ascend you to those next levels of creating reality. You know, all those further beautiful things.
It's so exciting. And there's so much potential. I think we're just at the cusp where we're learning new stuff. And this might lead to other things that we're not even aware of as we start to, you know, advance our knowledge of this interaction with our emotions, our heart, and our general patterns. It's surprising it took us so long to figure this out. Right. I mean, thousands of years, what the heck. So
yeah.
Kyle Boyd, Leah Rush, you can find them at the Heart Coherence Collaborative, and I will put the Facebook link and some contact information. And it's just always a joy and honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for supporting the Reality Revolution. We wouldn't be where we're at without you. And so I owe you a debt of gratitude, and I'm honored that you even asked me to participate. So thank you so much. And welcome to the Reality Revolution, guys.
We love you, brother.
We love you, guys.
We return you now to your local announcer.